This week, we're resharing one of your favorite episodes from the Single Tracks podcast archive, which now includes over 200 episodes. We'll be back in 2019 with a fresh slate of podcast interviews and mountain bike topics for the new year. So, happy trails until then.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Single Tracks podcast. My name is Jeff, and today Aaron and Greg and I are going to be talking about mountain bike drivetrains. In this discussion, we're going to start off talking about the pros and cons of 1x versus 2x and 3x drivetrains, because that's still a hot topic among a lot of our readers. We're also going to talk about some of the differences between the different group levels, so SLX versus XT and XTR, and on the SRAM side, how the X rating system works for them as well. And then we're also going to talk about some alternative drivetrains that are out there. So some of the geared drivetrains that you might have heard about. We'll talk about oval chain rings and also DI2. So let's jump right into it and start talking about drivetrain configurations. Greg and Aaron, how do you guys have your drivetrains set up?
I'm a 1x for life. I've got it tatted on my chest. That's how about that 1x life I am. No, I prefer 1x on my personal bikes, at least on my mountain bikes. I know that SRAM has done some 1x drivetrains for like gravel and road, but with the hills we have around here on my gravel and road bike, I'd still prefer the 2x. But I've been running 1x setup for probably 7 years or more now, back in the days of 1x9 when the biggest cassette you could get was like a 32 or maybe a 34. So it's been a minute.
So I'm personally running, still running 2x10 on most of my bikes. I've got a number of bikes with different things, but for me, the big kicker is gear range. I need a low enough granny gear to allow my wussy legs to pedal up the mountain. And a 1x11 with a 42 tooth big cog isn't a low enough granny gear for me. So right now I'm still running 2x10 on most of my stuff, but you know, with a 46 tooth cog on Shimano's 1x11, that's getting pretty close. And then, you know, we're going to talk more about Eagle later, but with the 12 speed with a 50 tooth bailout gear, that's plenty of range. So for me, it's all about getting the range I need to get my butt up the mountain.
Yeah, I'm also 1x on all of my bikes, like Aaron. And like Aaron too, yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. I always find it funny that people think that 1x, you know, people who haven't tried it anyway, think that it's like a marketing thing or it's, you know, hype or a gimmick or whatever, but it's not. I mean, this is something that Aaron and I, at least too, have been doing since before there was such a thing as 1x11 or 1x12 now. So it is possible, and there are definite advantages to doing it. There's also disadvantages. So don't feel like, you know, you have to choose 1x or 2x and, you know, one's a right choice and one's a wrong choice.
Did you have like a particular moment where you're like, all right, I'm going 1x, or because I know I did.
No, I mean, I know a lot of people who single speeded, ride single speed. And so that always interested me. And I thought, well, shoot, you know, if they can ride most trails with one gear. Yeah. Then I should be okay with 9 gears. So,
right.
And then, yeah, I demoed a bike that was set up that way. The bike that I ended up buying, the Redline D660, they actually shipped it that way 7-8 years ago. And so, yeah, that's when I realized I wanted to do it. How about you?
Well, you know, I do a lot of racing, and our soil here in the Southeast can be really gritty. So if you race in bad weather, if it's raining and muddy, the soil's really gritty and it just wreaks havoc on your drivetrain and can cause a lot of issues with chain suck. So it was after a particularly horrible Snake Creek Gap race up in Dalton, Georgia, several years ago now, that I had such horrible chain suck. I was running a triple at the time. This is way back in the day. Remember triples? I couldn't use my middle ring or my big ring because the chain just kept sucking up and getting caught in the chainstay. So I had to ride in the granny ring for like over half the race and just be super ginger on the pedals so I wouldn't get chain suck. And after that race, I was like, I'm done. I took the rings off. I bought one of those little top guides because there were no narrow wide chain rings. So you needed something to, you know, help keep the chain from rattling off. So I got a little E13 XC guide and yeah, never looked back.
Right on. Yeah. So Greg, do you have sort of a preferred manufacturer for your drivetrain, or are you running mixed stuff, or what's your deal?
You know, that's a great question. I'm running mostly Shimano stuff right now, partially because that's what came on my bikes, but also because it just plain works. So, you know, I've got a Shimano mixed drivetrain on my main bike with XT, XTR, SLX, all across the board, sort of replace things as they go along. But I used to not be a Shimano guy. I used to be like a SRAM all the way, but I've gotten sort of addicted to my, my Shimano stuff and, being able to drop more gears at one point in time than, just pushing. And, let's say I'm not one of these fanboys that's going to say like, oh, you need this brand, but I'm running mostly Shimano right now. So that's where I'm at.
What about you, Aaron?
I run a variety as well. Like Greg, I used to be kind of a SRAM only guy, for a long time, but I mean, they both make great drivetrains. So, but my hardtail is it's a 1x10 drivetrain, and it has a mix of like, I think it's an SLX rear derailleur and a Z shifter on it. And then my full suspension is a 1x11, and that has a SRAM drivetrain on it. So I got a little bit of both in there.
So Aaron, since you run primarily 1x drivetrains, gear ratio and gearing is really important. So what kind of gears are you running on your drivetrains?
The hardtail, I'm just running a straight 1136 Shimano XT cassette. So that's just your standard 10-speed cassette. You know, there are several aftermarket options where you can get a larger cog to place behind the cassette, but I'm not currently using that. Typically on that bike, I have a 32 tooth chain ring. It's pretty kind of standard fare. It's a 29er. So with the easiest gear being a 32, 36, and it's a hardtail, so I can still get up most stuff here in Georgia. My full suspension is a little different story because it's a bigger, heavier bike. So I do a lot more swapping of the chain rings on that bike. You know, I have up to a 42 tooth cog in the rear, but the front I'll change anywhere from a 30 to a 34, kind of depending on where I'm riding. If I'm going to go somewhere where I'll be doing a ton of climbing, I'll take the time to swap out the 30 tooth chain ring on the front, so it's a little bit easier. And then if I was going to go race or something like that, I'll put a 34 on, so I have more top end.
Yeah, for me personally, I've, I stuck with sort of the single speed mantra and have tried to just get stronger by riding my 1x drivetrain. And as a result, I've gone from a 32 tooth chainring to a 34, just to kind of push myself. And, so that's what I run on all of my bikes, again, to give it more of the top end, that is missing. And I'm still able to get up, you know, everything that I need to. With a standard cassette. And I'll mention too that my 1x drivetrains, none of them are 11 speed. I've got a 9 speed and a 10 speed. So again, you don't have to buy into the latest and greatest marketing hype or anything. If that's what you're worried about, you can go 1x9, 1x10. You can go 1x8 if you want to. So there's a lot of options out there.
Here's a question for you, Jeff. So are you running a narrow wide chainring though, even though you're 9 or 10 speed?
Yes, I am. And that's allowed me to at least get rid of the chain retention device that I had on there. I rarely drop chains, though it does still happen occasionally, but not enough to bother me. So yeah, there are narrow wide chain rings that you can use with those drivetrains as well.
The one thing I would throw in there, which I don't think is in our notes, but if you are going... I don't know. I think any drivetrain you're going with, but you know, you're talking about 8, 9, 10. The big thing I would say is if you can get a derailleur with a clutch on it, you know, whatever the clutch specific name is from whatever manufacturer, I mean, that's going to do a world of good for your chain retention. So, you know, while I think, yeah, you can go down maybe to 9-speed and older stuff, you know, if you can get a clutch wherever you're at, that's a good choice.
Yeah, I think clutches are limited to just 10-speed.
10-speed and up. Yeah,
from the major manufacturers. So yeah, one of mine's got clutch and one doesn't.
Well, the older, the SRAM 9-speed stuff, they, especially the shorter cages, they were just known for having like stronger spring tension in them. So that's, you know, like the first bike I had when I was running 1x9, I rode with a SRAM X9 rear derailleur, and it was a short cage derailleur, and it did a great job of holding the chain on, because it does have a stiffer spring than the comparable Shimano 9-speed.
That's a good point. I have that same derailleur, so maybe that's why I don't have problems.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So we've kind of talked about one-by drivetrains here for a couple minutes, but let's get down and get explicit about the pros and cons to a one-by drivetrain, because that's something that not everybody's running yet, and for those who aren't, they might be considering it. So Aaron, what are some of the pros to a one-by drivetrain?
One of the main ones is lighter weight. So you're taking a lot of stuff off your bike. So you're going from, let's say you're going from a 2x to a 1x, you're removing a chain ring, you're removing your front derailleur, you're removing your front shifter, the cable, the housing, you're going to shorten your chain a little bit. You're talking about up to a pound, basically, of weight savings, which is, that's pretty significant. And it's one of the cheapest ways to save that much weight on your bike. I mean, if you try to drop a pound off your wheels, then you're going to be spending probably a couple thousand dollars on a new wheel set. So, it's lighter weight. It's more reliable just because there's less shit to break. You have less pieces on there, so it's less stuff to go wrong out on the trail. It pretty much eliminates drop chains, especially if you're running some sort of additional guide. There's tons of little top guides out there on the market now that just sit over the top of your chain ring just for that added little bit of security. I mean, it does add a little bit of weight, but you're talking, 50 to 80 grams maybe. So, you can still drop a chain, but it's way, way, way less common on a 1x than a 2x drivetrain. And I think one thing that kind of gets overlooked is it's kind of assumed that 1x is only good for strong and seasoned riders. But I think it's simple and it's really easy to understand for new riders too. Shifting is a skill like anything else on the bike. It's something you have to learn. And when you add in a front derailleur and multiple chain rings, you're just adding more confusion to the mix. So it's really easy for new riders to understand, this one button makes it easier, this one button makes it harder. Boom. Like, that's all you need to know. And like you mentioned, Jeff, to a certain degree, it'll make you a stronger rider. So, having a limited gear range means, maybe you're going to be pushing it on the climbs a little bit harder than you would if you had a 2x drivetrain, and that's going to improve your overall fitness.
Excellent. Greg, what are some of the disadvantages of a 1x drivetrain?
Well, it's pretty hard to argue with that logic right there, but there are a couple of disadvantages. One is if you aren't a super strong rider already, it can be tough to push that gearing range around if it's a steeper gearing range than you're used to running. Or if you're like me and you're just happy with your mediocrity, maybe you don't want to push that really tall, low-end gear around. But for some other riders, they do have the opposite issue. They might have enough strength to push the, a really difficult granny gear around, but they might not have enough top-end gear range for going really fast and keeping on the pedals at high speeds. Sometimes I have a hard time believing that, but I hear that from riders. So a lot of these gearing issues, where we're talking about range, mostly applies to, say, 1x10, 1x11 with a 42 tooth cog. But now we've got Eagle 1x12. And in my experience, that's going to solve most of your gearing range issues, especially compared to a 2x10 drivetrain. It basically has the same gearing range. And you can set up your front chain ring to either give you a better bailout granny gear, which is what I need to pedal my butt up these mountains around here. Or if you're fast and strong, you can run a bigger chain ring up front and get the top end gear that you want. So honestly, I say this, this downside of gearing range, it doesn't apply to all 1x drivetrains, just not the super nice new expensive ones. I mean, Eagle's still expensive though. Even in the X01, it's not cheap, but it's going to come down. It's just a matter of time until it comes down. The only other big drawback is that backwards compatibility can be an issue depending on what bike you're running. But as we go forward, it's going to be less and less of an issue. All I'd say, there's not a whole lot of downside. Price used to be one, but they've solved that you know, in the past couple of years, especially with NX coming out. It's freaking dirt cheap now.
Yeah, I would add maybe a couple more cons to your list. I've ridden a couple 2x drivetrain bikes recently, and they shift great. I mean, if you haven't ridden a front derailleur in a while, like, they massively improved. It's a lot faster. It's a lot more accurate. You know, especially if you're comparing it to a 3x drivetrain, it's just a lot easier to shift. So, and you know, there's been some long days where I've definitely used the granny gear on a test bike with a 2x. But one of the biggest cons to a 2x system is there's no good place for your dropper remote. And I haven't seen a good solution for that yet. You know, if you have a shifter on the left side, then your dropper remote has to come up above your bars, which is just a horrible ergonomic position. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really seen a good solution for that yet. And I mean, for me, that's a pretty big deal, you know, cause you don't want to be, you know, if you're riding some strange trail that you've never been on before at speed, you don't want to be fumbling around guessing where your dropper remote is, at least for me. I mean, once you get used to riding a dropper post, it's kind of hard to go back. So that was a big one for me. And then another con that I hear, and again, it's kind of like, you know, people saying they don't have enough top end range. So I don't know if it's really affects that many people, is cadence, that people don't like the jumps in cadence. Because if you think about it, when you have a 1x drivetrain, you're having, especially as you get up in bigger gears, you're getting bigger and bigger jumps in between the teeth, which can, you know, kind of upset your natural cadence. So maybe you feel like, you know, you need to be in a gear ratio that's like in between these jumps that a 1x doesn't provide. But again, it's like, that's probably a very particular picky set of mountain bikers.
Yeah, definitely.
Racers.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It definitely seems like more of a road biker issue than mountain biker. Where cadence is important.
I mean, I could really see, I mean, if you're racing, if you're doing a lot of endurance races, if you're doing like 100-mile races, I can see the advantage to still having a 2x drivetrain for that top end reason, because, you know, in those kind of races, you have a lot of gravel road. You may have paved sections in between the single track, and you want to be covering that ground as fast as possible. So I think it makes sense for a certain racers, but I mean, racers are going to buy the newest, greatest anyway. And like Greg said, they're probably just going to get Eagle and buy a bigger chain ring. So Eagle does really kind of takes that excuse off the board.
Indeed. In looking at the drivetrain groups from companies like SRAM and Shimano, there are a lot of choices out there. You can get SLX or XT or XTR on the Shimano side. And then SRAM has seemingly an endless number of group levels available. So what are the differences between those groups? What's one of the first things that you guys notice about those groups?
Probably the first one's going to be price. So as you mentioned, there's a huge range of component groups available from, you know, from Shimano and SRAM. There's also other smaller manufacturers out there. Microshift is one. You don't really see their stuff on many mountain bikes, but they're actually working on an electronic drivetrain. So talk a little about that later. But then you have Box Components has just recently gotten into the drivetrain game as well, which is pretty interesting because, you know, it's no one's really been trying to test Shimano and SRAM. And our own Chris Daniels actually reviewed it. So you can go look up the Box Components drivetrain review on the site if you want to see what he thought about it. Basically, though, you got a huge range of prices. You know, if we're looking at SRAM's groups, you know, if we're looking at 11-speed stuff, their NX group, which is they just launched last year, is $310 for a complete group, and that includes cranks. So that's cranks, a derailleur, a shifter, a chain, you know, not brakes or anything. But that's I think most of us would consider that very affordable. But then, you know, it goes all the way up to over $1,400 for the new Eagle 12-speed group. So it's a very broad range. And Shimano has approximately the same range. You know, they do have a Dior, just a straight Dior mountain group, and that starts around $300 for a group. But then when you're looking at the tippy top XTR DI2 electronic drivetrain, you're talking over $2,000 once you get all the wires and the display unit and the battery and all that all that stuff that goes along with it. So huge range of prices. You can spend almost as little as you want up to, you know, as much as you want.
So. One thing to think about is that, and we've touched on this a bit, but you can always mix and match components to save money, especially if you're looking at an aftermarket replacement. You know, lots of times your bike will come with whatever your bike comes with, but then down the road, as you replace stuff, that's when you start making decisions. So you don't always have to be tied to just like this one group range and buy everything across the group range. So that's an important thing to consider. For instance, while SRAM's high-end cassettes are really nice, I mean, they're super light, they're gorgeous, they shift really well, they are stupid expensive. So, you know, you have to sort of weigh those pros and cons as you go about your upgrades and replacements. But I think that's one of the beauties of having choices, though. So we've got lots of choices, and for the most part, you can mix and match things across, you know, price ranges within the same drivetrain style. So if you're running 1x11, you could run an NX cassette if you wanted to. It's just going to be really heavy. Maybe not shift as well.
Yeah, you will lose a little bit in the performance, but yeah, I'm right there with you, Greg. I mean, you know, when I went to replace my SRAM cassette, I got a little bit of sticker shock from it there. I mean, even the GX cassette, which is their kind of mid-tier level cassette, retails for $130. You can find it for like $115 online, but an XT cassette, you retails for $96, and you can find it for around $60 online. So it's almost half the price, essentially. So